spoke at Salamanca, and we had the Lord's Supper. It was Jerry and Kathy, and then Chris and Paula Copeland with their kids, the normal maintenance guys from camp, from Ohio and roundabout Olean, and Bethel and I. And at the end, Jerry got up to give announcements, and he said he'd like to thank everyone for inviting him to the Lord's Supper that morning, because he and Kathy were the only ones from Salamanca at the time. And so when you said that, that kind of reminded me of that same thing. About 8 weeks ago, I think it was, our brother Dave started us off in the book of Acts on the story of Peter. And let's go back to Acts 12. I since found out where he got that idea. It's not Greenwood Hills. I found out where that idea came from. But gave us a good message on Peter and being alongside the prison guards. And then I picked up on that a little bit the last time I spoke. And I kind of left off with Acts 12:13, where the girl heard Peter's knocking at the door and went out to see who was at the gate. And she came back in. She said to the people, "It's Peter." And they said, "No, can't be Peter. You know, we're praying for Peter to get out of prison. It can't be Peter." Go back and check again. You say, she went out and checked again. And she recognized his voice, and it was Peter, you know. And they said it must be his angel, right? Let's see, where is that? Rhoda said in verse 14, when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Oh, you're mad." But she constantly affirmed, it's him. So they said, it's his angel. But finally, he kept knocking, and they opened the door, and he came in. And of course, it was Peter. And I left off there with what I call the servant hears, recognizes, and rejoices. And then the prayers were those of disbelief and astonishment. But then we had after that, of course, at the end of that section, we had the when daybreak came and Herod wanted to get Peter, why Peter wasn't there. And it was the soldiers' predicament. And they, of course, were executed. They were put to death. And the rest of this next part of the section got me interested in a little bit of geography. While I'm not a geography teacher, I am interested in that to some extent. And Herod leaves Jerusalem and goes to Caesarea. Where's Caesarea? Anybody know?
On the coast.
On the coast, right. There's a Caesarea on the Sea of Galilee, but that's Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea, where Herod had built this beautiful palace, was on the coast of the Mediterranean, over in the about 15 or 20 miles off to the over the mountains and at the coast. Oh, let's see, it's probably 100 miles. Probably only about 20 miles, probably over to the Mediterranean Sea. Israel's a small country. You know that? When Bethel and I went to Germany, we found that Europe was a small continent, and Germany was a small country. But Israel's a small country, nowhere near the size of. Right, you know, a very small country. And it's like the Sea of Galilee. You think of the storms in the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is from here to Hamburg, you know, about 7 miles by 12 miles. And not a very big sea, but yet it has some wicked waves, just like Lake Erie has sometimes. But he went to Caesarea. And it says here in verse 20 that Herod was highly displeased. Acts chapter 12 and verse 20. Herod was very displeased with those of Tyre and Sidon, which were two cities up to the north. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them, and the people gave a shout, saying, "It's the voice of a god, and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And I like those last two verses. You know, we read about what happened to Caesar, or Herod, I should say. We read about what happened to Herod. Herod wanted to get away from Jerusalem. There was enough going on in Jerusalem. Went out to the Mediterranean to get a little bit of relief out on the coast. Kind of like Ray likes to go down to Florida, you know, and get a little sun, right, Ray? And he doesn't mind that. So I don't imagine Herod minded it either, you know. And except he couldn't fly there, he had to probably go there, have somebody carry him on those poles. But who knows? But at any rate, he's out there, and these people from up north kind of want to get on his good side, and they proclaim him as they hear. He gives this flowery speech or oration, and they proclaim him a god. And he's slain by the Lord because he didn't give God the glory. He's slain because he accepted honor due a deity, honor due God, and didn't say no. Didn't put it off. But instead, because he didn't, God slew him. From the inside out. From the inside out. But the next phrase says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Isn't that neat? People that are up against God, people that set themselves up against God or allow themselves to be put on a pedestal against God can be destroyed. Somebody on the radio this past week was speaking about when the Babylonians, or who was it, they captured the Ark of the Covenant, Philistines, they put it before Dagon, and of course the next morning Dagon's statue was fallen over. They set it up again, and the next morning after that it was fallen over and in pieces. God doesn't give his glory to anyone. You've got to remember that. God doesn't share his glory when it comes to deity with anyone. The next verse talks about Barnabas and Saul. And that got me looking back a few chapters. Where was Saul? Where was Barnabas? What was this they were coming from? Let's go back to chapter 10 for a little bit of background here. Because it's really an interesting year or so, I think, or maybe more than that, in the life of Saul and Barnabas that led up to this time. Probably it included the time when James was slain by Herod before Peter was imprisoned. But chapter 10 and verse 23. Peter had been up to Cornelius's, which also was in Caesarea, by the way. Peter was called to Caesarea, where Cornelius was. That was kind of interesting. I wonder if Herod went by Cornelius's house after this period of time in order to get to the palace. But Peter went to Caesarea. So in verse 23, let's see, is that where I wanted to go? Let's see. Oh, let's go chapter 9, verse 30. Let's go back a chapter. Chapter 9 and verse 30. I'm sorry. In fact, you can go back to 9:23. You're right, Tim. 9:23. The Jews tried to kill Saul. And what got me back into some of this research here and this looking back was I'm on this website that Carl got us on a couple of years ago for intercessors, and there's so much persecution going on, even today, right, in Israel, in Jerusalem, with a bombing with 19 killed right at a pizza parlor in downtown Jerusalem. But here Saul is, and Saul was baptized in verse 18 and 19, and he went up and preached Christ in verse 20. And in verse 23, after many days were fulfilled, the Jews sought counsel to kill him. But their laying await was made known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night. And the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, so he left Damascus, and he went to Jerusalem. Now Damascus is quite a ways away. That's quite a little haul. He went to Jerusalem, and he purposed to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him. But Barnabas took him. Isn't that neat? Barnabas took him. You know, sometimes we need encouragers, and we need people to take us and draw us aside. And we need to do that with younger brothers and sisters in the Lord, too. Here's Barnabas, latches on to Saul, the one that was killing Christians just a year before this. He was killing Christians. And Barnabas latches hold of him and brings him to the apostles and tells how he had seen the Lord in the way and he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord. So they were in Jerusalem for a while. But then it says in verse 29, he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea. They sent Saul to Caesarea and then sent him forth to Tarsus. Anybody know where Tarsus is? Saul of Tarsus, right? He was from Tarsus, right? Saul of Tarsus. They sent him home. They sent him back to his hometown. Now that's up, all the way up to above the eastern end of the Mediterranean, up in the southeast corner of Turkey, southeast corner of Asia Minor, and just on the edge of the mountains where the river deltas come out into the Gulf of Mexico, sure, into the Mediterranean Sea, eastern edge of the Mediterranean Sea, why they sent him up there. So this represents a period of time. So Saul was back up home in Tarsus for a while. And then he had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were built up. Chapter 10 and verse 23. Peter goes to Caesarea. Okay, and we know that we won't go into that whole story because Uncle Dave was talking about that before. But Peter goes to Caesarea, meets with Cornelius. In chapter 11 and verse 1, Peter goes to the Jews. And he has to vindicate his ministry to the Gentiles. We don't know what's happening with Paul here. And then in chapter 11 and verse 19, we start hearing about cities again. In verse 19, they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus, that's an island in the eastern end of the Mediterranean, and Antioch, which is partway up the coast above, it's above Caesarea and it's above Tyre and Sidon, going up the coast northward towards Turkey, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So now the Gentiles are again starting to hear the word. This was just shortly after Peter had left Cornelius's and back to Jerusalem. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So then the tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which were in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas. Here's Barnabas again. He should go as far north as Antioch, who when he had come and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And then verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. He remembered that just 30 miles north of here, on the other side of the corner of the Mediterranean, is Saul. So he goes up by boat, or however he got there, and maybe he walked the beach, I don't know. But he goes up, and he seeks out Saul. He departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul, who when he had found him, brought him down to Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Boy, wouldn't that been a great play, great series of meetings? Barnabas and Saul for a year. That would have been some really interesting ministry. The gospel was just being opened up to the Gentiles, just under a year now. And they're up in Antioch. It's a shipping town. You get people in, the Greeks in, from across the Mediterranean, across the sea, probably a ways, about 60 miles or so. And a big port, a port where much merchandising is going on. What a place for those two to be. A very strategic place. Very strategic place. And it says here that they were there a year, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. I jotted down here somewhere, someone was speaking on this, and they mentioned it was not a compliment, but a set in contempt. So not all the reception probably was good, possibly. The other things I had in my notes here was that then in verse 30, well, before that, there was a prophet that stood up and told about the problems that were going to be on in Judea. But in verse 29, the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which they also did, and sent it by the elders, by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So that's where we come. This is the passage that connects with the last passage in Acts 12. Because they're sending Barnabas and Saul back to Jerusalem from Antioch in order to give them, it doesn't say what they were going to give them, whether they gave them money or whether they took grain. It doesn't say what they did. They knew there was a famine, there was hard times down in Jerusalem. It says there was a great dearth through all the world. Anybody have anything else for dearth? I figured it was famine, right? Anybody have that in their footnotes? But famine in all the world. And they were probably taking grain, and some of the things that they had gotten in from the port there at Antioch to bring down to Jerusalem. So that when they were finished with that, it says in Acts chapter 12, and where were we? Acts chapter 12 and verse 25, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. You know, God gives us a ministry. God gives us a ministry. One of the things that we spoke, some people spoke on at camp this past couple of weeks ago, was the will of God. And what is the ministry He's given you to do? That came up not as a direct one of today's messages, but through some discussion with other people. But here they had a ministry. They had a goal to take whatever it was, food. We don't know what all it was, but it must have been food in order to take care of the famine, down to Jerusalem. And when they fulfilled their ministry, they returned back to Antioch. They returned, it says, I didn't say where, but I think this is still in Antioch. They returned, and when they had fulfilled their ministry, and now they grab with them John, who's John Mark. And, of course, that gets into the next section of missionary journeys and stuff like that. But I brought this, I wanted to finish that one section up tonight, because it alludes to a lot of different things. It alludes to persecution. Herod Saul was even killing people, right? Killing Christians right and left. Throwing them in jail, killing them. Herod had already killed James, brother of John. He was about to kill Peter before the angel delivered him. Not far from what we have today in terms of persecution. There's thousands of believers today in prisons in China and in Pakistan and in Afghanistan and in Africa that are being persecuted for the name of Christ. It's happening today. It's happening every day in China. Every day. They're breaking into these cell homes that our brother, who was it, Henderson? Warren Henderson, who was here? They're breaking into cell homes like he was talking about, and arresting the owners of the homes and taking them to prison. There was someone who was showing a video, Jesus video. There was someone who was showing something on a computer, a video on a computer. They confiscated the computer. They confiscated the video. They took the guys to jail. They took several of the believers to jail. I mean, it's right and left. So this area touches on persecution. It touches on ministry. We need to fulfill the ministry that God gives us. As it says, when they finish their ministry, they return. I'm not finished yet. I have to come back after a youth camp. But then I'll be back until Labor Day weekend. But there's a ministry there. Jeff just got back from New York, right? And each of us have our own ministry, whether it's in Blaisdell or Orchard Park. I walked in a dentist office today, and the secretary said, "My son knows you from Camp Lilloli." Okay. And you were working with them with the telescopes down there in June. And I said, "Oh, okay, what's your name?" You know, so we started talking, the new secretary. And it was kind of neat, kind of like you having your conversation today, too, in your new section. You know? So let's remember to fulfill our ministry. Your ministry might be supplication. You know, some of you, especially elderly people, you know, your ministry may be just supplication, maybe encouragement. It may be witnessing, evangelism. Whatever it is, you know, let's keep ourselves in the will of the Lord and fulfilling our ministry. But don't forget there's persecution out there, and let's be intercessors for those that are in countries that are nowhere near as good as the USA. Our brother Ray and our brother Charlie are good to remind us that there's nothing like the USA. And they've been around the world in service and stuff like that. And it's true. Many countries around the world today, vast persecution if you name the name of Christ, to the point of death, and to the point of death of all the family members. So let's remember our brothers and sisters in prayer and in practicality, too, as we hear of needs. Right?